Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Wow, that's awesome. What a great opportunity to help these women, and appreciate that so much. You guys look so great today. I'm so glad you're here. Man, if I haven't told you lately, I just want to tell you how much that Anita and I love you and how much we enjoyed this journey together. And by the way, last week, wasn't that a great opportunity? 10 years, KCLC and Jimmy brought the word last week. Wow, what a great one. Well, give you another opportunity to be generous. You know, sometimes people say, well, we just get so generous. Well, I don't know how you can get more generous than you need. You know, when opportunities come, we arise to those. And KC Nation, Pastor Chris's wife, is heading up a thing called Shutdown Relief for Furloughed Government Employees. And I'm not getting political today. I'm just saying that we have a lot of people in our church and in our surrounding community that are really struggling right now. Some of them are single moms. And so Casey is spearheading an opportunity. If you have leftover gas cards, Publix gift cards, that there'll be a box out front. You can drop those in, and we're just going to help people. She's going to vet them, so it'll be the right people who get help. And we can't do it for everybody and every need, but we really felt like we talked this week to our elders, to talk to Pastor Kevin, and we said, let's do what we can do for our own people. And so those are out there. If you'd like to be part of that, please help. That will be an amazing thing that we can be able to do that. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'll be there in just a minute, but let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you so much. Man, we just feel your presence and your power. And today we love you, and we come and we bring this word and ask you to, Holy Spirit, anoint me. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say, but help me to say everything I should say today in your name, Jesus. And we believe at the end of this day that the Lord will be glorified and that the believers will be edified and the enemy will be terrified in the name of Jesus. Well, let me just remind you where we've been. We've been in this series called This Is Who We Are. And we've been looking at the Father's house. We've been looking at our values, our mission, our vision, because you need to know what you're part of, because you are the church. We are the church together. And so every week, this is a review. We've been looking at the values. The values is the culture. It's who we are. It's what separates a Father's house from other churches that are great churches in our community. And I would encourage those of you that are doing sermon review to make sure you review every week the values. Don't let those values just slip by. So let me give you a quick review of where we've been. The first week we said we are built on biblical truth. Remember? We are built. Everything we do is built around, is it in the Bible? Is it true? Is it for us today? Then the next week we said, you know, good news is our message. We love the message of salvation, and we are empowered to share the message of Jesus. And methods may change, but the message is the same. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. That's our message. And then we said the next week, we go together, not alone. In other words, you don't come to church just isolated, you there. No, you're together. Together we make something that's powerful. So we go together, not alone. And last week was people are our heartbeat. People are our heartbeat. We make no apologies that we're focused on reaching and discipling people who are far from God. That's what the church is all about. And so today we're going to look at another value, and here it is. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Say that with me. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit came into your life at conversion, right? You're not more saved than you are when he comes into your life. You know, some people say, well, you know, you get saved and later you receive the Holy Spirit and you do all the... Look, you don't get the Holy Spirit in installments. When he comes at conversion, he comes in the fullness of what he has inside of you. But it's not just that he came to live inside of you, but he also wants to express himself through you to be able to make a difference in this world. Now today we're going to talk about a weapon that we need in this time that we're living in today. Now listen, I'm going to talk today about the power of our prayer language. I'm taking kid gloves off. I'm wading into this today. And if you haven't been here before when we've done the different series on the power of the Holy Spirit, go back and listen to those. I don't have time to cover all those today. But one of the values we have here at the Father's House is that we don't fight in these battles that we have alone, but we fight in the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus sent on the day of Pentecost when he started his church. So if you have your prayer language, that's a great thing. But that doesn't make you more spiritual than somebody else. There's no such thing as a second-class Christian. We're all redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there is a divine weapon that's in this Bible that unleashes miracles, gives us strength, gives us breakthrough, and it's the power of praying in our prayer language, or as said, praying in tongues. Paul talked a lot about that. And so let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive what?
Power.
You will receive what?
Power.
So maybe you've been trying to walk along. You say, man, I just don't feel like I have any power. Well, let me just say, one of the reasons that the Lord sent the Holy Spirit is so we can have power. So we're not anemic. So we're not just barely getting by, but we've got power. Say power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I can't get away from this thing that's been on my heart for several months now. We are in a battle. I've never seen such an onslaught of the enemy fighting Christian families today. Can I get an amen? We are in a spiritual war zone. Just as much as you see on TV of the different crises where in Ukraine and other areas where things just blown up, you think, man, how can anything ever come from that? But we're facing chaos, doubt, distraction. I've never heard so many people getting sick, so many battles, so many financial struggles, and so many struggles in marriages. People had been married for years, attacked by the enemy. It's just such an onslaught. I've never seen something that we're going through today. I hear stories every week about that. Well, I just want to take a moment today and to say, I'm very happy that next Sunday, Anita and I will have been married 34 wonderful, wonderful years. 34 years. Look, it hasn't always been easy. There have been times we've gone to counseling. There have been times that Dwight would say, Terry, how do you rate your marriage? I say, oh, we're about a 7. Anita, how do you rate the marriage? Oh, about a 2. Whoa, reality. We're here today because we invested in and said divorce is not an option in our life. And you need that in your life. Listen, if the enemy's attacking you, you can't fight it with logic. You've got to get the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life and take a stand and say, well, not compromise. But Anita, I'd like to make a presentation to you. Just take it over to her. I'm not going to have her to come up here. She's old. I think I can bend that far, maybe. A rose started. A rose started. That's a story you'll have to hear sometime. Listen, folks, listen to me. Church, God didn't leave us to fight without power. For instance, if you enlisted in the army, and they swear you in, they give you a uniform, and then if they were to lay out in front of you, you know this doesn't happen because they're going to give you the best, but they lay out in front of you and say, pick your weapon, and there's a slingshot and a BB gun or a super power bazooka that does everything from laser to fire to everything you need. How many of you know you wouldn't pick up a BB gun, you wouldn't pick up a slingshot, but you take the most powerful weapon that you can get because you know your life is at stake? I'm telling you today, church, God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And you say, but isn't it all right? Isn't it all right? Now, I hear you, Terry. I believe praying in your spiritual prayer language is good, but isn't it enough for me to just to pray in my natural language? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's second class. But I'm saying, don't you feel like there's something you've been missing as a believer? If you haven't been praying in the power of your prayer language, there is a power that comes up on us. And I think sometimes we just think, well, you know, praying in my prayer language, that's an option. If it was an option that you could pick and choose, then why did on the day of Pentecost, when the Lord birthed the church, they're sitting there, 120 believers are in the room. Now, there were 500 that he showed himself to and said, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. But there's 120 there. Maybe the other ones were satisfied with a slingshot. But there was 120 people that stood there and they waited in the upper room and they were praying, they were worshiping, they were expecting. And then, boom, a sound like a hurricane crashes through. Tongues of fire dance upon their heads. The Holy Spirit fills them. They erupt in speaking in a language that they've never had studied before, and it was began to talk about mysteries that came straight from God. I'm telling you, what we're playing with in the Holy Spirit is something that's supernatural, that's going to take us to another dimension, that we're going to begin seeing more. I think we get so adjusted. Well, you know, so-and-so is getting a divorce. Oh, my. Oh, I'm so sad. You know, so-and-so's got cancer. Oh, it's just so terrible. You know, so-and-so, they've lost their job. Oh, my. You know, so-and-so. And we just roll over. We just roll over and say, well, another one bites the dust. But what about rising up as a church and saying, enough is enough. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm picking out the weapon that God wants to use to make a difference in people's lives. Look at these verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. For 40 days after Jesus had suffered and died, he proved in many ways that he had been raised from the dead. He appeared to his apostles and he spoke to them about God's kingdom. While he was still with them, he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the Father to give you Holy Spirit, just as I told you and promised you. John baptized you with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing violent wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were distributed among them, and they rested upon them. Each person received Holy Spirit. And they were all filled, that is, they were diffused throughout their being. Oh, I love that phrase. With the Holy Spirit, and to begin to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak clearly and appropriately. The church was born not with a whisper, but with a roar. 3,000 people added to the church. People were healed, and they had amazing, amazing growth. So why is praying in tongues a secret weapon? Now, I'm not talking about something that's just for Pentecostals or charismatics. There are Spirit-filled Catholics that meet weekly, that have received the baptism. There are Baptists, there are Presbyterians, there are Episcopalians, there are people that have really no church background. What is it going on around the world right now? It's getting more powerful than ever before. People say, well, you know, tongues, that's weird. Show me one miracle in this Bible that's not weird. Jesus spits in a man's eye and puts mud in his eye. Is that weird or is what? People tear open a roof and let down somebody. I mean, weird because we're not adjusted to that. Maybe you came from a background that's weird to you, but maybe it's not weird to other people because they've been living in that for a long time. But what if this morning the Lord has given you an opportunity to tap onto a new level of power that you've been dreaming about, you've been thinking about? Can I just pray normal? Sure you can. You can go out in the dark and have a flashlight. or you can use a spotlight. I believe praying in your prayer language is not optional equipment. I believe it's necessary for the world and the darkness that we're getting ready to move into. Why? Why is praying in tongues a secret weapon? Number one, it connects you directly to God. Paul said this in Corinthians, "For he who speaks in a tongue, prays in a prayer language, doesn't speak to men, but speaks to whom?" To who? In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. When I pray and you pray in tongues, I'm not babbling. I'm not babbling. It's a direct conversation with our Creator. Number two, it recharges your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4, a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. I have a phone, and every once in a while, it runs out of juice. It has to be recharged. Some of you have run out of juice. You've been fighting so many battles, and you fought it with your mind. You fought it with the prayers that you could make up in your own mind. But what? And you with your praise, sometimes you get to the end of that. But what if the Lord's saying, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to accompany you, to give you a prayer so that you can pray beyond your understanding, and you can pray from the Holy Spirit that lives within you already to the Spirit of God." Number three, it confuses the enemy. During World War II, the Allies cracked the Nazi secret code, and they could discover every enemy plan. But praying in tongues works the opposite. It's your encrypted code. The devil doesn't know what you're praying. Jude 20 says he urges us to build ourselves up. It's a tactical advantage. But you say, but I just don't know. You know, I've been told that it's for past day, and it's not real. Well, you know that's not true, because there's so many things that's happening. Well, I just don't want to get a devil. You ever heard that one? I don't want to get a devil. You know, I'm afraid I'll make it up. Make it up. Jesus said, if you ask your Heavenly Father, He'll give you the Holy Spirit. If a son asks a father for bread, He doesn't give him a rock. If he asks for fish, He doesn't give him a serpent. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Don't you let the devil tell you that lie, that the enemy is going to come and be able to give you something contrary. Even science understands this thing about praying and the power of our prayer language. In November 7th, 2006, in the New York Times, they ran a research study from Dr. Andrew Newberg, who is a neuroscientist at the University of Pennsylvania. And Newberg did a whole bunch of research, people that are spirit-filled, praying in tongues. He wired them up with all sort of things so that he could evaluate what's going on in the brain. And he said, we noticed that a number of changes occurred functionally in the brain. And there became a decreased use of the frontal lobe. Now, the frontal lobe is used when we speak our natural language and when we choose to do things. The frontal lobe is where we use our day-to-day activities. Here's what he said. The frontal lobe, let me go ahead and pull that quote up, the next one, the quote there. The scan showed that the frontal lobe, the part of the brain that controls language, was active when they prayed in English, but for the most part felt quiet when prayed in tongues. All right, go ahead and bring up the next one. Our brain imaging, this is in the New York Post there, not New York Post, what did I say? New York Times. Our brain imaging research shows us that these subjects are not in control of the usual language centers during this activity when speaking in tongues. Next, it's not a regular language, at least what normally would activate the frontal lobe of the brain. We scientifically assume it's being taken over by another part of the brain, but we couldn't see where that took place. So what does that mean? Well, Paul said it like this. When I pray in tongues, I'm not praying with my frontal lobe. I'm not praying with my known English, Spanish, German, but I'm praying from my spirit. So as I'm praying from my spirit, my frontal lobe actually becomes non-useful at that time. And I'm not just back. Do you understand what science is saying here? It's saying what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I pray with the spirit, I also pray with understanding. And then he goes on to say, I wish you all would speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So he's simply saying, look, I'm going to pray in English, but I also am going to pray from my spirit man straight to the heart of God, because I know I'm in a conflict. I'm in a spiritual warfare that's beyond me. Listen, don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says this is not for you, or it's strange, or it's weird. It's a game changer for your life. I know some of you today are a little skeptical. So look, don't just take my word for it. Don't just take a neuroscientist's word for it. But let me share an interview with you with my friend Kimberly. Kimberly, would you come and join? This is Kimberly. She works here at the church. Give her a hand as she comes. Kimberly is one of our office assistants. She keeps me straight with all the stuff that I know. Go ahead and have a seat here, Kimberly. How long you guys been coming to Father? Her name is Kimberly, but I call her Bougie or Kimber. Those are some of her nicknames, right? Yes. How long you guys been coming?
4 years almost.
Okay. Yes, she's married to this handsome guy, Steve. Steve, stand up. He's one of our armor bearers. Go ahead, Steve, stand up. Take care. Now, when we started several months ago, maybe it's been even a year ago, when I taught on Holy Spirit, you came to me and you talked to me because it was weird.
Weird.
Strange.
Strange.
Different.
Yes.
Hard for you to theologically grab. Tell me a little bit about how your initial, because I know there's some of you that are sitting here and saying, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to believe, but I have struggles. So help me out a little bit.
I was one of those people who were raised in a church where the topic really never came up.
Okay.
And when it did come up, it was weird. It was people were just trying to start confusion in the church. It was not something that we did in today's times. It was something that should be avoided.
Okay.
And so that's how I was raised. So when it was brought up here, I didn't understand it. To me, it was weird. All the people that I heard doing it, even though I knew them, they were weird.
Yeah.
But then I got to the point where I started asking questions, because something inside was like, you need to take a look at this. So I remember I went to you and I said, Pastor Terry, I don't understand this prayer language thing. I said, I'm struggling. And you didn't try to persuade me. You didn't try to tell me what I need to do or not need to do. You simply gave me some tools. And I took those tools and I began to dig in.
Okay.
And as words would come slowly, I would fight it.
So you're thinking, as your prayer language began, this just maybe a few phrases.
A few phrases. And I would fight it. I'd be like, girl, that's not you. That's all you. You're crazy. You're weird.
Yeah, pause. How many of you that have your prayer language have ever heard that lie come into your mind? You're just making it up. Look at these hands go up. You're just making it up. You know, so, yeah.
And then I started thinking, if I go through with this, my friends outside of this body, they're going to think that I'm weird. My family, they're going to think that I've lost my mind.
Yeah.
My husband is going to think that I'm weird. But then a question popped into mind, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, because the question was, do you really want everything that God has for you, or do you want to please people?
Whoa.
And I said, I want everything that you've given me access to. And that's when it really kicked in. And it's just one of those things where you just have to decide for yourself, Lord, I'm going to surrender because you said this was mine. So I'm going to go after it. As I go after it, I'm going after you. And there is nothing and nobody that can stop what you have for me because you said it was for me and I want it. I want it all. I don't want just a little bit. I don't want a little taste. I want everything that you have for me.
Yeah.
And that came during a time where everything around just seemed like it was just going crazy. And as I began to just surrender to the Holy Spirit and just start following instead of trying to lead,
ooh,
I right now can sit here and tell you that my husband and I are being, we're getting to watch God in real time do things that we could not even imagine. And that's because I started fighting by what God has given me, my prayer language. I love my husband. I love my family. I love my friends outside of this body, but I don't care if they think that I'm weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want what God has for me.
Now, this was a process. It didn't happen overnight, right?
Did not happen overnight. I started this in January, and I did not have a real breakthrough until a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Tell me about that breakthrough. You came in that morning, and you were in tears, and you got me in tears. So tell me about that morning.
That morning.
Well, the night before. It started the night before.
Yes. The night before, I woke up in the middle of the night. And a few words in my prayer language started coming out. And I remember thinking, what was that? And I went back to sleep. And then the next morning, I have a routine that I kind of go through in the morning. When Steve leaves work, I get up. And I just kind of sit in the quiet just for a little bit. And then I start listening to my soaking worship music. And then I begin to pray. And then as I was praying, words started just coming.
Wow.
And they were just flowing. And this time I did not stop. I did not start thinking, girl, you have lost your mind. Stop what you're doing. I just continued to say, in the middle of everything, I just remember just saying, God, you are here. And I feel every bit of you. And I came to work and I told PT, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I changed my mind. I'm going to tell you. And just that feeling, you know, when those of us who are mothers, when we embrace our babies that very first time, just that feeling that we get, that's what I felt.
Yeah.
I felt like God himself had just wrapped me up and just squeezed me tight. And it just said, I've been waiting for you to just surrender to everything that I have for you.
Yes.
And that's what it felt like. If you're sitting here and you're thinking it's not for you, don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let him lie to you, because he just doesn't want you to get to whatever God has in store for you.
Yeah.
God has something in store for every single one of us. He's got a plan for all of our lives. But we have to want it. We have to do the work to get to it. We can't just say, oh, that's what he's got for me. Now I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to take the easy way out because I have the option to or not to. We have to do the work and surrender.
Wow. Please. Please hear my heart. We're not saying that if a person has their prayer language, they're better than somebody else. Well, we're just saying, I'm able to reach into God's goodie bag, and I'm getting a weapon that's going to take me to another level, that I don't have to fight this sickness, I don't have to fight these things by myself. So please don't hear my heart. Don't leave today and say, well, that's really just made a dividing line between those that are and those that are not. No, I'm just saying, I'm laying out the scripture to you that you can choose, what weapon that you want to use. Would you bow your heads with me? And first of all, Kimber, I would like for you to pray. I'd like for you to pray for the believers that are here, that Maybe they've never received their prayer language and they're hungry, or the enemy's lying to them, or whatever. But would you just pray for the believers that are here today and those that are watching online about just being able to surrender as you have.
Lord God, we come to you first. We just want to say thank you for being God.
Yes.
God, there are some of us that may be sitting here right now, not sure. God, there may be someone sitting here right now experiencing, beginning to get their prayer language, but the enemy just keeps getting inside of their head and they just keep backing off of it. Lord God, help them to understand that that's you. It's you trying to get through because you have something to get to them. Lord God, we want everything that you have for us. Everything that you said we have access to, Lord God, we are claiming it right now.
Yes.
And we're not going to just sit back and just say, forget it. Because God, you said that your plans were perfect. You said that your plans are to bring us hope and a future. God, every single thing that you have ever said, you've never turned your back and said, I'm changing my mind. So God, for those who are sitting here and they're desiring to have their prayer language, Lord God, I just ask you to just go in and just begin to move in a way that nobody else can move. Lord God, I ask you to just to open up their hearts, open up their minds, and just let them concentrate on you and help them to surrender totally and completely to you. Lord God, there is nothing that you aren't able to do. If you could change me, somebody that didn't believe, somebody that doubted even when it was happening, God, I know from experience that you can do that for every single person that's sitting right here today. God, begin to move in a way that you've never moved among this body of people. God, help us to just stand strong and to fight through even when those doubts begin to take place.
Amen. Amen.
God, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we love you.
Yes, we do.
And we want all that you have for us.
Yes, we do.
In Jesus' name.
As you continue with your head bowed, let me ask this question. Maybe you're here today and you say, wow, my first step is I need to meet Jesus. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus is he came to this world. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. But on the third day, he rose from the grave so as many who would call upon him could be saved. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I know right now I'm far from him. Jesus became your sin. He didn't just take your sin, but on the cross he became sin. Because you can't break loose from that yourself. But he said, it is finished. He paid the price. There's no other price. For as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. It's his righteousness today. So if you're here today, you're watching online, you say, Terry, I need to do that today. I need to make that decision, surrender my life to Jesus, or rededicate my life to him. Would you raise your hand, just make eye contact with me and say, yeah, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others today, thank you. Others today. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm going to put some material in your hands, just give you a little book of some stuff that Anita and I have written to help you on the journey. Others today, just say, yeah, that's me. That's me. I'll pray. Let me lead you in a prayer. Let's pray this prayer together. Father God, I thank you today for loving me, for caring for me. I sense your spirit. You're so real. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Become my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your spirit. As best as I know how, I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Church, would you celebrate with us today with those who made that decision? Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.